ourselves in our own sin and iniquity, and yet also presents to us the glories of our Savior who has accomplished our redemption for us, and also puts before those of us who are among the people of God the way of life. And we pray, therefore, that as we bow our hearts before you, that you will grant to us the ability to perceive wonderful things out of your word, that we might be directed thereby. May we not only be hearers, but doers as well. May we be like those who build upon the rock. May we hear your word and act upon them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think as you look about you, you will find not only in yourself, but certainly in the world about you, there is a growing tendency in our materialistic world to place more value on things than on character, on what you have rather than what you are. And as a result of that, the relationship between success and hard work, at least in part the relationship between success and hard work has been somewhat obscured. As people put more value on things, people tend to forget that there are people who work very hard to get where they are. And yet today, many people look about them, and if they see anyone who's doing better than themselves, they tend to think that they are either lucky or that they are crooked, and there doesn't seem to be any relationship, any perceived relationship any longer between hard work and success. Everyone is either just zapped out of the blue and is successful or some other kind of thing. And that's a sad thing, and you can certainly see that, but we have lost that. And I'll always be in remembrance of just dealing with people who are that way, who think that somehow the world owes us a living. That simply getting by and doing the least that you possibly can, and let's face it, as you listen to people as they speak about their work, as they speak about their callings, most people are willing just to get by with doing as little as they possibly can, and just scraping by. And I think that's in part because there's more value on things, and people in pursuing things overlook character. But the Scripture tells us the man that is diligent, that is, that he has this quality of diligence, that gift of diligence is far more valuable than what he accumulates by his diligence. Diligence is the other underlying factor for success in anything. And that's what this 27th verse of Proverbs chapter 12 tells us. It says that a slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence, a precious possession. And this evening I want to speak on that particular aspect, because there is an element where that self-discipline of diligence is so necessary and so lacking in every facet of our lives. We really ought to be engaged in the pursuit of excellence. We ought to be engaged at doing the very best that we can possibly do and being the best that we can possibly be. And so let's just look at this. And I think it's obvious from this 24th verse, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. There's a contrast. And in that contrast, I think that we can see that what God puts before us is an incentive to diligence. And so I would say to you that God, first of all, wants you to develop the quality of diligence. It's something that can be developed. It is given to us, of course, as a result of God's grace. It is only by the grace of God that we shall indeed exercise that. But nonetheless, in this passage of Scripture, God wants you to develop that quality of diligence. And so we immediately ask ourselves the question, well, what is diligence? What is it? And there's nothing magical about it, because diligence is simply persevering hard work. That's what diligence is. It is persevering hard work. And that's what God says is a precious possession of a man. That quality which stirs him up to persevere in hard work. Stop and think about that, if you will, and understand that what God wants us to do is to commit ourselves to work hard. Man was created for work. We tend to think of Adam in the garden as lying around in the hammock, having grapes fall off the vine into his mouth and never doing anything. But if you'll read very carefully the third chapter of the book of Genesis, it says that God created man and that he put him in the garden to dress the garden. He was put there to work. When you see the address that was given to Adam by the Lord and in the eternal counsels of God, man was created in the image of God, and he was created in the image of God that he might exercise dominion over the creatures. And you can see that in this verse also, this 24th verse. The hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent will exercise dominion is another translation of that. It's the diligent who are able to do so. So Adam, when he was created before the fall, was created to work. And of course, after the fall, man was commanded to work after the fall. And the difference between before the fall and after the fall is that there is the addition of the covenant curses on man's labor, that it is more difficult to see productivity than it was before. Adam always had to work, but now it is by the sweat of his brow that he's going to bring forth the fruit of the ground, that he's going to exercise that dominion. By the way, and this is an aside here as you think about this, and you need to think about this also in terms of our own growth in grace. One of the things that you can see in Christ's work of salvation is that Christ ultimately rolls back the curse and makes it of none effect. Christ is the victor over death. And in your own life, you can also see that man was made subject to sin and death by the fall of Adam. And yet those who are who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are renewed by his Spirit and given the gift of repentance and faith, in your own life you see a progressive growth in grace so that the claim of sin upon your life is diminished. In Christ and by his grace, that curse is rolled back in part in this life and ultimately, of course, at the return of Christ and the resurrection. And I want you to understand something also, that also has its effects on the culture. That as a people and as men and women and families and communities covenant themselves to be the Lord's and find by his grace they are able to keep his commandments more and more, that God rolls back the effects of the curse also upon the ground. Now stop and think about it for a moment, if you will, please, to that which is able to be done really in very small portions of land in Western countries because of the ability to grow food. Vast quantities, the tremendous productivity that is not experienced in other places. And we can't just say, well, that's because we're so much smarter. You have to go back and understand that that is the fruit of the gospel in our lives. And it's also because of what people sneeringly today call the Christian work ethic or the biblical work ethic. That's all part of it. They go hand in hand. Commit yourself to work hard because that's what you were created to do. And commit yourself to work until the job is done. One of the things that I think, and I'll speak to you young people, this is something that you need to cultivate. Don't quit until the job is done. It's easy to get started, but what we need to see is the job done. When I say the job is done, and I'll speak to my children here, that means the tools put away, where you got them from. That can be spoken to me also. But that's part of finishing the job. That's what diligence is. Diligence is persevering hard work. You work hard until the job is done. So that's what diligence is. And then you cultivate that diligence by doing that which promotes it. You don't just start out and think diligence in the morning when you get up, although it wouldn't be bad to pray and ask God to make you diligent. But I think there are things that can help us to assist us to be diligent. If you're anything like me, and I know you are, there are always more things to be done in a day than I have hours to do them and that I have energy to do. God has made me so that I do require time to eat and sleep, and there are those things. And so there are always things that we need to do, but let me just give you a couple of things that I think will help you to be diligent, to work hard, and to persevere until you finish the job. One is that you do your essential plannings. And that's why we read Proverbs 21 and verse 5, because I think that tells us something about this. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Now, there are a couple of things that I would say to this, that planning is certainly essential, because it talks about the hasty man, the one who just runs off without giving any thought to it, comes to poverty. But the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. You ought to do some planning. And so I would say to you, first of all, that planning ought not to be neglected at all. You need to know what it is that you're attempting to accomplish and for what purpose. Sometimes I think that we don't really think through things, what we really want to accomplish, and then when we get mired down and we really don't know where we're going, that can be a real problem. But on the other hand, I would say to you also that planning should not be an end in itself. And for that, I would just take you over a couple of chapters to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. In all labor, it says, there is profit. In diligence, in actually getting the job done, in all labor there is profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Now, let me say this. I think you ought to plan. But if you've got the option, if you say, well, I'm just going to plan and plan and plan until I get it all worked out, then I'd say, don't plan. Just start working at it and plan as you go. If you got to take one or the other. Because it's labor that profits. It's actually doing the work. And sometimes I have some of the greatest ideas that ever came along. I wish I could share some of them with you, but they always occur in dreams, and I can't remember them when I wake up. But I have great ideas. But ultimately, all great ideas never amount to anything unless there's hard work that flows out of them. So you need to do your essential planning. I think that's valuable. That will help you to be diligent. You ladies, you've got a lot of responsibilities on you. Stop and think when you're traveling into town, when you're going to do your shopping. Take the time to think through, what is it now that I can do in this one shopping trip instead of making five or six during the day or during the week? Do a little bit of planning. That will help you to be diligent in your work. You men in the projects, I know one of the things that distracts me no end is I just have all these things pressing on me, and I get to thinking about all of them, and I never get any of them done if I think about all of them. And I'm just like I was when I was a child in my room. And I wasn't very diligent at that time, and I still wrestle with my diligence. But Mom would say, because I hadn't finished the job in the first place, when I got clothes out and I took them off, I didn't finish the job, didn't hang them up, didn't put them in the hamper, threw them on the floor. When I got a toy out, I'd drag it off the thing, I'd leave it on the floor. And so, as you can imagine, my room probably looked like some of your rooms do, children, but I hope not. I hope yours looks better than mine. But I didn't have much diligence. My mom would finally get fed up with me after she could no longer get into my room. And she said, Brent, go in and clean your room. And I'd go into that room and I'd look around. And I'd just stand there for 20 minutes saying, where in the world do I begin? Well, if I'd taken a little bit of time to plan and say the best thing to do, of course, that was my problem. I spent all my time wondering about where it was that I was beginning when it would have been profitable to labor. And probably the best thing to do was be to start at the toy right that I had to step over in order to get to another one and put that away. In all labor, there's profit. So do your essential planning. And then I think the second thing, and it really goes along with this, is you need to manage your time. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we're to make the most of our time because the days are evil. And I think in managing your time, you need to understand that you cannot do everything. You can't. It can't be done. And I know we try, but what you need to do is you need to learn to prioritize what is essential, and you need to do those things which you are uniquely qualified to do, and then recognize that there's such a thing as the division of labor. There are other things that other people are uniquely qualified to do. You don't need to do everything, and you must not try to do everything. We need to manage our time. And what that means, and there are tough decisions, it means that there are some things that we have to choose that we aren't going to do. I mean, that's all there is to it. You can't do everything that you want to do. You need to choose the things that you are not going to do. And one of the things, and I'll just tell you that one of the things that Bunny and I have discussed, because she has a lot of responsibilities, and one of the options that we have made, we've just agreed, And Bunny says, I can't do everything. I can't teach the children. I can't keep the house immaculate and everything else. And so we said, okay, let the house go. We've got the kids for this amount of time, and then they're going to be gone. Then you can spend all your time on the house then. But right now we're going to invest in our children, because that's going to be an eternal investment. That's a choice that we have made. And that doesn't, I mean, she still does the essential things, but it means that she doesn't get down with a toothbrush and scrub the grout on the tile anymore. She doesn't do that. She gives it a lick and a promise, but she doesn't lick the tile, but she scrubs the tile down, but she doesn't do the same detailed work that she did. Those are things that you have to do. Sure, it'd be great to be able to do that, but you have to make the choices. So learn to manage your time and recognize the division of labor. And then, and all of this really comes to this, then you also need to exercise self-discipline, and you aren't going to do your essential planning and manage your time unless you're exercising self-discipline. But I think that self-discipline needs to come from this, and that's why we read Colossians chapter 2, that whatever we do, we're to do it heartily as to the Lord. I think that's what we need to do. We need to remember that we're serving the Lord. We aren't just pleasing men, but we are serving the Lord who looks upon the heart. And therefore, we exercise that self-discipline so that we can do the essential planning, that we can manage our time, and then that we can just go ahead and do the best things and not just the good things. We exercise that self-discipline before the Lord. So diligence is persevering hard work. We cultivate it by doing that which promotes it, doing essential planning, managing time, and exercising self-discipline. And then the Lord would have you to cultivate diligence by placing a high value on it. And we've already talked about that. I'll just mention it, and we'll be spending more time on that this evening as we go on. But just notice what verse 27 says about it. It says, the precious possession of a man is diligence. And I think you need to understand, and you young people, one of the values of education isn't just the content that you learn, but it's the ability to go on learning after you've learned what you've learned. Because you never stop learning. If you stop learning, you've got a problem. You haven't learned the precious possession is not just the content of what you know, but the value of the discipline of learning itself so that you can go on, and the diligence that it produces in you. That's the value. You cultivate diligence by placing a high value on it. It's a precious possession. You see, if you have diligence, if you are a diligent man before the Lord in all that means, which we'll look at in a minute, then you have the tools to do anything that God calls you to do. If you don't have the gift of diligence, you don't have the tools for accomplishing anything. Diligence is a precious possession. You know, I kind of alluded, you've heard that saying, but it is true. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Which would you rather have, a fish or the knowledge of fishing? Which would you rather have, success for a moment or the ability to succeed in whatever God calls you to do? You see, that's a precious possession. It's valuable. So God wants you to develop the quality of diligence. God wants you to value diligence for the fruit that it bears. I said that we ought to value it, but we are given here some instruction as to the value in by the fruit that it brings to us. And we'll just go through these quickly. And they probably could be prioritized better than they are. They aren't necessarily in order of importance. But as I was thinking about that and contemplating the scriptures and how they relate, these are some of the things that occurred to me. This isn't all the value. It certainly is not exhaustive. But let me just share a few things with you that diligence does. Diligence, first of all, is a precious possession because it makes you productive. Diligence makes you productive. Now, understand when I say this that God makes it very clear that it is the blessing of God ultimately that gives success. But God uses means to accomplish that end also. So diligence makes you productive. Let's look at a few Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19, for instance. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to pass over into the Lions of Virginia and buy a lottery ticket. But there aren't very many people getting rich off the lottery. And the guy who takes his time and puts in his garden or whatever it is, or puts in his time at work, is going to be a whole lot more productive than the person who sits around dreaming about winning the big one in the lottery. It just doesn't happen. And you need to understand that. Diligence is a precious possession because it makes you productive. We read the 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. All the desires, all of the cravings, all of the dreaming and everything else doesn't amount to anything. But it is the one who is diligent, who works hard, who realizes the gain. So, diligence makes you productive. And I would say this too, that what this world needs, and I'm not saying this, some of you may be very gifted in ideas, and I know some of you are. Some of you say, well, I just can't think of great things to do. Well, I want to tell you this also, that it is not just the dreamers, and we need dreamers, we need entrepreneurs and people like that. But one of the things that will make you successful is if you are a diligent servant. You don't need great ideas to be useful in God's kingdom. But what you do need is a persevering diligence to be a servant of God and to serve men. That will make you productive. And diligence is a precious possession because diligence gives you influence as well. In Proverbs 22, and this is just a fascinating proverb as you think about the implications of it. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man who is skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Now, he's not talking about here great politicians. You know, he's not talking about those who are skilled as ambassadors and all of this other thing. He says, you want to see a man who's skilled in his work in whatever he does, he's going to be a man who has influence. Because a person who does his job well is a person to whom people look and a person whom people respect. Thirdly, diligence is a precious possession because it is a means of or for growth in grace. Turn over, if you will, to the New Testament, because we've applied this in the, as it were, in the workaday world, but this principle of diligence also applies in our spiritual lives as well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to this as he speaks to those who are going to be persecuted for their faith. Peter encourages them, the Holy Spirit through Peter encourages them, and he says that they are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. I believe 2 Peter 1. Yes. 2 Peter 1:5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that if these qualities are yours and are abounding, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of God. So it is diligence that is a means for growth in grace. If you're lazy in your spiritual disciplines, you're not going to grow in grace. If you're diligent in those things, you are. Now, is that simply a humanistic thing? Is that human effort that says that human effort is that which sanctifies us? No, it's the work of grace. But God is the one who gives us the grace of diligence, and he expects us to use the means of grace with diligence. Fourthly, diligence is a precious possession because it ultimately brings you to the goal. It procures your crown. And here's where we would go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter tells us that diligence which God gives and we exercise is that which ultimately brings us to that which we have been laid hold of for. Verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to them, you know, again, I'm sorry, it is still 2 Peter. I don't know what I did. It's still in that first chapter. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. It brings you to the goal. Fifthly, diligence is a precious possession because it results in dominion for Christ. And that's what our text tells us. The hand of the diligent will rule. For all of the above reasons, the hand of the diligent will exercise the dominion that God has given to us. It is not the one who is lazy that will exercise that dominion, but it's the one who is diligent in his spiritual and material pursuits as unto the Lord. And finally, diligence is a precious possession because it brings glory to God. Jesus said it this way, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bring forth much fruit." God is glorified. And if there weren't any other reason, if there were no other reason besides the glory of God, that would make it valuable enough. Diligence is indeed a precious possession. But also the other side of the coin is that God wants you to pursue diligence because of the slavery that it prevents. You'll notice here that it says the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. While there are blessings and it is precious possession for the positive thing that it produces, diligence is also a precious possession because it prevents a very serious bondage, an unbreakable bondage. And I'll put it this way, if you neglect diligence, then you are a spiritual slave. That's what it means. If you are neglectful, if you're not diligent, then that is the indication that you are already a spiritual slave. You're a slave of sin and of death. Because that which invigorates us and gives us strength and grace, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit within us, stirs us up not to indigence, not to laziness, but to hard work for the grace, for the glory of God. The Puritans had it right. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And that's true. You look and see where so much of the trouble is coming from, and it's coming from people who don't have anything to do. Well, they've got plenty to do, but who aren't doing anything. And you need to understand that diligence, or the neglect of diligence, is an indication that you are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, of which self-control is one of them. And so you can see that slavery and how it works out. Certainly one who is apart from Christ is a slave to Satan, to sin, and to death. And you need to understand that whole concept of slavery. We are all slaves. We're either slaves of sin and death, or we're slaves of Christ. But we're all slaves. We're all servants. If you neglect diligence, you are probably a slave to your own desires. If we're lazy, and we are all lazy, I certainly have to wrestle with that. Why is it? Because I have my own desires. I don't want to do things, and so I just don't do them. Why? Because I'm a slave to my desires instead of to what God would have me to do. And also a slave to fear. I think sometimes that we don't attempt things simply because we're afraid of failure. And that ought not to govern us. We can be afraid, that's legitimate, but fear never ought to govern us. Fear never ought to keep us from attempting to do what we know we ought to do. And if we do allow that fear to govern us, then it's because we're spiritual slaves. But the second aspect of that is that if you neglect diligence, you then are subject to human slavery. And I want you to think about this because it is a biblical thing, and we need to rethink it. We've tried to get away from God's solutions to our problems, and in the process have brought a whole lot more problems on ourselves. But you need to understand that biblically, the solution to a man who was unwilling to work, not unable to work, but a man who was unwilling to work, was that basically he would starve to death or he would be put into indentured servitude. A man who was unwilling and who was indigent and who would not work ultimately found himself being placed in a position where he was put into indentured servitude. He became a debtor, and in order to pay off that debt, if he had no money, what he did then was he would be placed in a form of slavery until he paid off that debt. And that's what's happening. How many people today who are lazy have become enslaved to debt? And make no bones about it, the Scripture says it very clearly. The borrower is the lender's slave. And so there are many who are enslaved to debt. And others then have been enslaved by coercive and punitive government. When people will not govern themselves, when they are not diligent in governing themselves, then what happens is we have a coercive and a punitive government. A nation that does not remember Joshua or Jesus will soon be oppressed by oppressors. You need to understand that. That's a basic principle. In a sense, we have all become slaves because we have not trusted the Lord. We have not been diligent to do what we ought to have done. And you may be enslaved by God's remedy, and we've already talked about that, by indentured servitude. You know, property criminals were required to work for restitution. If somebody stole your car, wrecked your car, they're arrested, they're found, they're returned, they didn't have the money to pay for your car, guess what they had to do? They had to work for you until the amount of that car was paid off. That seems to be rather reasonable, doesn't it? You know what we do today? Somebody steals your car, and they put them in prison, and you pay for their upkeep for the next 7 years, or whatever it is for Grand Theft Auto. It's probably not that long anymore. But what a foolish system it is. But if you neglect diligence, then that's where many of these things come from. We become the slaves of debt, we become the slaves of government, or we become enslaved by our own theft and our own crime, and we become the slaves of men, one way or another. So God wants you to pursue diligence because of the slavery it prevents. And then one last thing, and that is that God wants you to exercise diligence in every arena of life. What are the applications? Just very briefly here, we'll just touch on them. You ought to exercise diligence in your walk with the Lord. Isn't it interesting that in the parable of the soils, we have that one with the rocky soil where there was one, the seed fell upon the rocky ground and it started well, but it didn't finish. It was burned up. It didn't exercise diligence in persevering with the Lord. Many start with vigor, but don't persevere. Be diligent in your use of the means of grace. Be diligent in your trust of God. There are so many temptations not to trust the Lord, but to trust yourself or to trust other people. Do not slacken off. You trust the Lord, and be diligent in the daily practice of obedience to His Word. Exercise diligence in serving your family. You know, here's another thing. It's not just going to happen. Your families are not going to grow just like rolling off a log. It is going to require that hard work, persevering hard work. It needs to be a priority. You need to exercise that diligence in serving your families. And may I put in an application to you who are parents of children? May I suggest to you that you right now be training your children to work hard. Don't give them everything. You make them work. What you do for them today is going to set their patterns for the future. And you don't want to set in their hearts and in their minds that, hey, everything's come easy to me without work. Why should I work now? That isn't the way it is. That's a false view. You put them to work. Make them diligent. Train them in diligence. Exercise diligence in serving your family. Exercise diligence in serving one another. You need to be using your gifts in the church and in the community. It's not going to happen without persevering hard work. It's not easy, but it will happen with diligence. And certainly, exercise your gifts in your vocation. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you're to do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Well, we've covered an awful lot of ground, but I trust that God will, by His grace and through His Spirit, make us more diligent, that He'll bring this passage of Scripture together, that we might value that we might pursue it, that we might seek diligence from the Lord's face, and that He will grant to us the ability to work hard and to persevere until the job is finished, until ultimately we stand before Him and receive His benediction. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, we must confess before You that we are lacking in diligence. Oh Lord, there are so many things that we would desire to do, and yet there are so many distractions. Grant to us the